Hi, everyone. For those I haven't met yet, my name is Mike, and I'm the college pastor here at Symphony Church. And welcome to our Sunday service. It's always a joy to be able to worship together, and I hope that you're able to continue to grow with your microchurch. Just a couple family news. First is regarding our Harvest campaign. Last week, we launched our Harvest campaign, which is a giving campaign to help support our 3 1-year missionaries, Bella, Christian, and Dei. And to raise funds for a potential office expansion or a new building space. And so I first wanted to just update you all on where we're at right now. As of last Tuesday, we received a total pledge amount of a little over $41,000. And so thank you so much to everyone who submitted their pledges. If you'd like to submit your pledge today or needs more time to pray about it, you can do so at any point. There's no particular deadline to do so, but of course, the earlier, the better. If you need that pledge card or need more information on how to do that, please talk with your microchurch leader, or you can talk with me or the other staff members, and we'd be happy to help you. Secondly, I mentioned this last Monday at Monday Night Prayer, but Pastor Barry and Sonny are currently on a trip to Italy with two other pastors and their wives, Pastor Young and Annette, and Pastor Doug and Cindy. And I wish they were going purely for a vacation so they can get a little bit more rest, but they're actually spending about a week and a half there, connecting with one of the pastors in Rome, learning more about his church called Living Word Church. And the hope is to get a sense of the church, get to know more about the pastor and his family, and to see if there could be any potential partnership between Living Word Church and Acts Ministries International, which is the family of churches that we belong to. And so please pray for them. Pray for travel mercies, for wisdom and discernment. Pray for blessings upon Living Word Church, that God would use them to continue to advance his kingdom in Rome. We're going to spend some time praying for them together later on in our service, but for now, let's dive into the message. Right now, we are in a sermon series called Disney Plus God, where we'll be looking at movies that are available on Disney Plus and see ways in which elements of the gospel are piercing through. And one reason we do this each summer, more or less, is to have more of a lighthearted, fun series throughout the summer. But it's also because our Christian worldview helps us discern and see elements of the gospel in all spheres of life, including the very things that we watch. And so today we'll be looking at a movie called Free Guy that stars Ryan Reynolds as one of the main actors. And the vibe that you get from this movie is like a mix of Ready Player One and The Lego Movie. I went into this movie with really low expectations, and yet found myself laughing and giggling, and surprisingly, I really enjoyed it. And it was even more enjoyable to watch because most of the movie was actually filmed in Boston, specifically in the Financial District area and the Seaport area. Our brother Dan Jang occasionally shares about how he was almost in the movie, and so if you want to hear that story, you can reach out to him. If you've watched this movie already, you may be thinking that this sermon is going to be about free will and freedom, making your own decisions and your choices. And that's definitely a big theme throughout Free Guy. But I think this action-packed comedy film is actually a love story. And so the title for today's sermon is Created for Love. And we'll be looking at several different passages today, but our main passage comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10 and verse 19. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for gathering us to worship together this morning. This morning, as we take a look at this movie, would you remind us of your great love for us? Help us to experience greater measures of your love once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so before we get further into this message, just a quick note. We're not meant to read into these characters too much. We're looking at this movie through the lens of the gospel, and some aspects of the movie will attribute well to the gospel story, other aspects, not so much. And that's true for Free Guy and all the other movies we'll be looking at. If you're looking for one single character to perfectly portray a Christ-like figure, you won't. But we can see elements of Christ and elements of the gospel through the lives and actions of certain characters. You know, I'm assuming that more than half of you, perhaps even more than that, haven't even watched Free Guy. And so let me give a synopsis of the movie as simply as possible. I'm not going to share all the details, but I want to at least share about the ways that we see a love story in this movie. All right, so here we go. Free Guy is about an NPC, a non-player character named Guy, in a video game called Free City. Hence, Free Guy. And Guy has no idea that he's an NPC. He's programmed in a certain way. He wakes up every morning, says hi to his goldfish named Goldie. He goes to his favorite coffee shop and always gets a medium hot coffee with cream and two sugars. In fact, that's what everyone gets in Free City, every day, always. He always hangs out with his buddy, his best buddy named Buddy, and they both work at the bank together. And he's known to always say the stock phrase, "Don't have a good day, have a great day." But he's also programmed to feel like something is missing in his life, like there had to be something more. There's a scene in the bank when Guy tells Buddy, "In Free City, I have everything I need except one thing. It feels like I've been looking for her forever, you know." Guy is in search of that special woman in his life. And he has a particular criteria for what he's looking for. I know some of you can resonate with that. You have a mental list or you've written down somewhere the things you're looking for. And Guy goes on to share his list. He says, "I know exactly the woman I'm looking for. A woman with an offbeat sense of humor, an obsession with feel-good diva pop. She's rented in my brain and she won't move out." And then one day, as Guy's walking on the sidewalk, he comes across this woman singing "Fantasy" by Mariah Carey, and he felt like he finally found the woman with an obsession with feel-good diva pop, and Guy finds himself falling in love with a player in the video game called Molotov Girl, whose real name is Millie. And Millie's not just a player. Here's an important part to the plot. Millie and a friend named Keys are game developers. They created a game called Life Itself, but their code was stolen and was hidden in a new game, this game called Free City. And that's actually what Millie is trying to do. She's trying to find that hidden code. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Later on, there's a scene when Guy and Millie are fighting some bad guys together, but there's a minute of that scene where everything goes in slow motion, and Guy is just watching Millie from afar, and he's just falling in love. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has at some point if you've ever had a crush on someone. But you know, Guy is just falling head over heels for Millie. And then one night, Guy and Millie go on an impromptu date, and he introduces his favorite ice cream flavor, bubblegum. And Millie's eyes get big in unbelief because that's her favorite ice cream flavor, and no one else in the whole wide world would have ever said that except until now. They go on the swings together at a nearby park, and as they go for a walk, there's a moment when they lock eyes together, and they kiss, and then Guy tells Millie, "I love you." Guy felt like a whole new person. He finally found the very thing, the very person, the very relationship he's been looking for. And in a similar way, each and every human being is longing for a deeper, lasting love relationship. Which brings me to my first point. We were created for a love relationship with God. You know, I think sometimes we're not sure if a relationship is a love relationship, if it's rooted in love. And that's why when you start dating someone, you'll often find yourself asking the questions, does she love me? Does he love me? When will he say those three special words, I love you? Will she say it back? Do I even love him or her? That's why when you go to marriage seminars or receive words of wisdom from older couples, you'll often hear them say, don't forget to tell your spouse how much you love them. Say I love you every day. It's never enough to say I love you. I found this longing for love to be true even in my relationship with my dad. For most of my childhood, I can't recall him ever saying to me, I love you. But one day during my freshman year of college, I was chatting with my dad over the phone, and as we were about to hang up, he said, I love you, and then very quickly hung up. I remember being a bit dumbfounded by that call, confused by what had just happened, but also deeply comforted in knowing that I do have a love relationship with my dad. You know, these questions and these longings for love are just an echo of the deeper longing for our love relationship with God. You and I were created for love. Genesis 1:27 says that every person, whether you believe in Jesus or not, has been created in the image of God. And verses 7 to 8 of our main passage tells us that God is love, and love comes from God. And so any act of love and any longing for love is merely an echo of the reality that we were created in the image of God's love and created for a love relationship with God. Most of us aren't fully aware of this, but I believe you're here today in your microchurch, worshiping with us and listening to this message because in some way, somehow, you have tasted and seen just a glimpse of the love of God, and you're looking for something more. Guy knew that he was missing something in his life, and it was only when Guy found Millie that he became whole and came alive. And I want to tell you today that, and perhaps even remind you, that the everlasting love that we're looking for is found only in God. But God doesn't just simply sit back from afar and whisper the words, I love you. No, he puts his love into action, and it's through his love that God pursues a love relationship with us. That's my second point. God pursues a love relationship with you. And that's what the Bible is all about. The whole narrative of Scripture is a love letter seeking to restore our relationship with God. Everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God is pursuing a relationship with his people. As you read the Bible, you'll see that he reveals his love in many ways, through creation, through prophecies, through miracles, and even in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that no one has an excuse for not knowing God, because his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. But we still didn't get it. And so by his grace, what was once invisible was made visible through the person of Jesus. Through Jesus, God restores our relationship with him, where we will be his people and he will be our God. We are the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. This is God's mission, to point us to the life that we were intended to live, created for a love relationship with him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this pursuit of love came with a sacrifice. Verse 10 goes on to say, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' sacrifice was to point the world to the one we've all been longing for. And that's what happens in the movie. Near the end of the movie, Guy finds the hidden code that Millie and Keyes wrote, and long story short, their mission was complete. Millie knew that it was time for her to move on, that she couldn't live in a video game with Guy. But it was too hard for her to say goodbye. And so Guy does it for her. Here's the conversation between Guy and Millie. Millie says, "Look, Guy, wow, this is harder than I thought." And then Guy says, "Then let me do it for you. Guy, you are dreamy. Your taste in blue shirts and 5-octave musical superstars, it's deeply, deeply attractive to me. But I can't keep spending all my time with you. I created this world, but I can't live my life in it. See, was that so hard?" Millie says, "So what are you going to do?" And Guy says, "Anything I want, thanks to you. I'm not stuck in a loop anymore. Neither are you. I love you, Millie. Maybe that is my programming talking, but guess what? Someone wrote that program. I'm just a love letter to you. Somewhere out there is the author." Guy let go of his true love because he knew something that she didn't. He was an NPC coded with the very heart and mind of his creator. And the very person that she fell in love with was not Guy, a mere NPC, but Keyes, her co-developer. And then Millie found a video recording of Keyes explaining why Guy is the way he is. Keyes tells this to Millie: "You brought him to life. You brought him to life. And he was alive because he met the one person he'd been waiting for his whole life. And I had to make it realistic, so I based it off of you. The woman of his dreams. She was the same as mine. So she liked bubblegum ice cream and swing sets. And she had this very cute but oddly specific habit of always humming this classic Mariah Carey track. Like all the time, she would repeat." And you can guess what happens after that. Millie runs after Keyes in the real world. They kiss and they fall in love. In a similar way, we can see God's fingerprint in all of creation. And it's through creation and Christ that he makes known to us the great love he has for us. God revealed his love tangibly through the life and death of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. The cross was the highest display of God's love, a cross that required a sacrifice that pleased for all people to see what love the Father has for us. A sacrifice that is a wake-up call for the whole world to see God's abounding love. That's how jealous he is for our affection. He's waiting for you to respond to his love, which brings me to the third and final point for this message. We are called to love our Creator God. The love of God is the very thing that compels us to love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." But as I was reflecting on this verse, I was wrestling with this question of why is it so hard for us to love God in return? I came across a quote sometime back in college that went something like this: God's love is not in question, rather it is our love for God that is in question. God's love is not in question, rather it is our love for God that is in question. It's such a simple quote, but for some reason it stuck with me. If God's love is true and sure, if his love is never-ending and unfailing and everlasting, then perhaps the problem in this relationship with God lies in me. Throughout my childhood, there were many things I loved more than God. Pokemon cards, girls, good grades, friendships. And as we get older, the temptation to fall in love with creation over the Creator just seems to get stronger. Money, stability, family, marriage, comfort. And in fact, the same was true in first century Palestine. In Romans 1:25, the Apostle Paul says, they, as in the humanity as a whole, exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Not all of our worldly desires are bad, but when they're at the center of our heart over God, that's when our love for God is truly in question. That's why in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There are other passages that make this point, but Jesus is essentially saying that God must be at the center of your heart. He must be your first and true and steady love. And so here's the question that I think we can all ask ourselves. Do I love God more than blank? Do I love God more than blank? Can you say you love God more than your grades or your GPA? More than your career or your salary? More than your friends and your family? More than your significant other, even your spouse? More than your aspirations and dreams in this world? Do you love God more than these? As I ask these questions, I'm preaching to myself as well, because I'm just as susceptible to fall into love with the creation over the Creator. But as I was reflecting on this question, this old Christian song came to mind, and I felt like God was telling me once again, there is no true contender for the love of God. It's a song called There's None Like You. And the verse goes like this. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity long, yet find that there is none like you. The love of God has no contenders. Nothing can defeat God's love. Nothing can beat God's love. There is nothing greater than God's love. If we want a lasting love relationship, and if that longing is true for every person in the world, and if that kind of love can only be found with God, then we must go to God. And part of the beauty of God's creation is that love is a choice. God, out of his abundant love, has created us to have the free will to choose to love. And this choice is something we're called to make every day, to go to the one where true love lies, in the presence of our Creator. You and I were created for love, not just any kind of love, but a love that is found only in God. So how can we choose to enter into that love relationship each day? Well, I want to give you just three simple steps, three things that we can do each day. First, read God's love letter to you, aka the Bible. God has given us the Bible for a reason. You know, so often we just read the Bible occasionally for some words of wisdom, but it is so much more than that. It is his living and active word that speaks out his love for the world. If you only read snippets of it, you'll miss it. But if you'll read it in its entirety, you'll be overwhelmed by it. And you'll see how God longs to have a love relationship with us. And so spend each day reading God's love letter to you. Second, reflect on God's beloved Son and the cross. The gospel is that there is a God who loves you so much that he didn't just speak it, but he demonstrated his love by sending his one and only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We need daily reminders of God's love. And the cross is the megaphone by which we hear God's love for us through his beloved Son. As you read the Bible, take time to also reflect on Jesus and the cross, the blood that was shed for your sins. Be reminded of what Christ has done for you on the cross And you'll come to see and be reminded of God's great love for you. Third, allow God to be at the center of your heart. As I mentioned earlier, there's always going to be something or someone competing for God's spot. But when that happens, we'll find that they will always fall short, and we'll be left unsatisfied and unloved. But when we allow God to be at the center of our hearts, that's when we will truly find peace and satisfaction and joy and delight in Him. So these are my three encouragements for us today. Read God's love letter to you, reflect on God's beloved Son and the cross, and allow God to be at the center of your heart. We were created for love. Let's go back to a love relationship with our Creator God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ways that you have reminded us of your love. Reminded us, Lord, that we've been created for love. And so, Lord, we want to go to you right now. We want to receive your Holy Spirit. We want to experience greater measures of your love today. We invite you to work right now. Let's just take a minute right now to just receive from the Lord and to experience His love in a greater way once again. Be reminded that you have been created for love, a love relationship with God. Perhaps it's been a while since you've just come to the Lord in prayer. Perhaps it's been a while since you've wrestled with that question, do I love God more than blank? I want to give you a minute or so just to kind of come before the Lord, sit at His feet in prayer. Let's receive His overwhelming love once again.